All right, everybody, it is another edition of Pittsburgh Pop. Rob Owen, Tim Benz with you. Glad that you are with us as we get ready for the Memorial Day holiday. Lots on our plate today. Rob and I, this time next week, will be wrapping up Succession. That's the big thing on the TV docket, our weekly slice of pop culture. We always like to bring it to you and branch out beyond TV when such moments arrive. But right now, that's top of mind for a lot of folks that I know, Rob, because I have a lot of friends who are also into Succession. I didn't get to see last night's yet. Moments before we started taping up this podcast, I concluded another live stream that I do with Mark Madden on a weekly basis here at Trib Live, and he was gushing about this episode of Succession, the penultimate episode of Succession, the Logan Roy funeral. I'll borrow his phrase here, which was, Kieran Culkin deserves an Emmy for this episode alone. Is that something that you agree with?
I mean, he's tremendous in it. And it was so hard to watch. I have to say, of all the kids, I think Sarah Snook, who plays Shiv, is probably the one I most want to give an Emmy to. Just her stuff, the stuff between Shiv and Tom, just, it's so hard to watch. And yet, just what she emotes with a hair of tiny movement of her face is just amazing. But yes, Kieran Culkin, not to take anything away from him, he's fantastic in last night's episode too. I don't want to spoil it for you since you're going to want to watch it yourself, but I think we should talk about where we think this is ending next week, because wow.
Yes, what is your prediction?
There's a lot going on. I am torn. I think it will either be Kendall runs the company or none of them run the company, because it seems like they're sort of building this house of cards and everything could come crashing down and nobody owns it. I mean, could go that way. I don't know. But I think the more conventional ending would be Kendall runs the thing.
Kendall runs it, but with his family completely torn asunder and by himself as chum in the water for the board, right?
Presumably, yes. I mean, I don't think we're getting a happy ending. That isn't Succession.
Here's what would make me a happy ending. I want to see Greg become the president of ATN, and I want him to see him run the company. I want the jokey ending to be the real thing, which is sort of a parody on what American macroeconomics and big companies are. Like you said, the house of cards thing. Like a guy is idiotic as Greg, stumbles his way up to the top, promotes his way up. He's already been promoted to this level by stumbling his way up. Let's just make a farce of the whole thing. Corporate America and corporate ladder climbing with Greg. I think that would be the greatest indication, don't you?
I mean, I guess I can see it, but at the same time, there will be so many jokes on Twitter about how Game of Thrones ended with Bran on the throne and how everybody thought that was ridiculous. To me, Cousin Greg would be the Bran of Succession.
Is this the biggest, most anticipated ending since Game of Thrones?
Oh, gosh. I don't know. I probably not, just going by the numbers. I mean, Succession, you know, does very well among a certain demographic, but it is not the huge, big hit that Game of Thrones was. So, I mean, in terms of media interest, probably, but in terms of, I mean, I'm sure NCIS LA's swan song last night probably got higher ratings than what Succession will get. But
how was that? Did you watch that?
I have not. I didn't even realize it had been on 14 years. Those years, they fly by. I don't think I've watched since.
Unless it's Grey's Anatomy. Then you're like, it's still on? Really?
Right. Yeah. No.
If there is a spinoff to be had for Succession, it's got to be through Roman, right?
I don't know. I mean, there's been people have jokingly, but not jokingly, suggested the Disgusting Brothers with Tom and Greg.
You could. Well, that's not a bad one either. I do like that idea.
I don't know. I feel like you can't do a spinoff with the three kids. First of all, I don't think there's going to be a spinoff, period, because I don't think Jesse Armstrong wants to do it. But I don't think you could do one of the kids and not then ever see the other two siblings again. So I feel like the Disgusting Brothers is the most realistic one in a generally unrealistic scenario.
How about a short sort of like, 90 minute long movie a la El Camino for Breaking Bad?
You know, maybe down the road, I think if Jesse Armstrong had an idea and HBO would gladly do anything Succession related because it has gotten a lot of attention for them, even if the ratings have not been super, super high. I think HBO would go for anything. But at this point, I don't think there's anything.
You made a couple references there to the ratings and to the mass appeal. Are the ratings not as great for Succession as some of the online buzz is? Are the numbers not matching up there, per se?
I mean, it depends which numbers you look at. So the live plus some same day numbers, so people watching it Sunday night or within a day, I don't think that is above 3 million viewers a week typically. Now, when you add in 7 day viewing, I'm sure the number gets much higher, but I don't think any of it approaches Game of Thrones level viewing on any metric.
All right, it is Pittsburgh Pop, Tim Benz, Rob Owen. We will wrap up Succession next week. Oh, by the way, it was what, 74 minutes this week, right?
It was long. It was like, an hour and 15 or 20, something like that.
And next week, it's 90 minutes. Is that correct on Sunday night?
I have not seen a running time yet, so I'm not sure. But I wouldn't be surprised. Heck, they can go 2 hours. They've got so much to wrap up. Give them all the time they want, which I don't normally say about TV shows, but this time I do.
I wonder if Logan's going to make a reappearance in sort of a time hop kind of sequence. He's got to be on somehow in those 90 minutes, doesn't he?
I don't know. I feel like we kind of already did that with the Investor Day episode.
Oh, when he was on the TV sort of yelling at the kids. Yeah, right. Yeah, that's true. It was brief, but it was effective for the vehicle that you're using it for. All right, so let's get to something else, Rob. Since we're kind of on the topic, and this can dovetail into something else we wanted to talk about later on, and that's got a local tie-in with Ming-Na Wen. She's the voice of the mom on the Gremlins cartoon. What's it called? The Secrets of the Mogwai? Is that what it's called?
Yes, yes.
And this is also on HBO Max, which will soon be just Max, right?
Yes, correct. Exactly. So it's an animated Gremlins prequel that has been literally years in the making. I remember they announced it at least 4 years ago. And I think she's been recording tracks for it for almost 3 years. So the Gremlins movie from 1984, the Mogwai, or the cute little fuzzy
Gizmo.
Yeah. And then do you remember the three rules?
Yeah. Don't feed them after midnight.
Right.
Don't get them wet and don't show them sunlight.
Bright light. Yes.
So, bright light.
Exactly. So Secrets of the Mogwai goes back to the 1920s and introduces us to the very young version of the old Chinese man in the very first scene of Gremlins, the one who says, "I won't sell you Gizmo."
Yes.
But then his grandson sells them to Billy's dad, who gives them to Billy for Christmas. So this is going back to when that man, whose name it turns out is Sam Wing, is a kid in China. And it's his very first encounter ever with Gizmo. Now, it's a 10-episode first season of the animated series. It does not get us to how Gizmo and Sam made their way to America. But through the first series, you do learn a fair bit about like the origin of the Gremlins. We learn fourth rule. And, of course, all the things that happen in the movie happen, but in animation. Ming-Na Wen voices Sam's mom. I watched it with my 9-year-old and it's not bad for an animated kids series because it's serialized, so it's not like Droids or Ewoks or something, where each episode is its own thing. It tells a continuing linear story. I thought it was pretty decent, not so scary as the movie, which ushered in the PG-13 rating, but not so mind-numbing that parents will hate it. So I rather liked it. I thought it was pretty well done and filled in some blanks. And they've already ordered a second season, so perhaps in season two they will explain how Sam and Gizmo made it to America.
Does Phoebe Cates voice anything?
She does not.
Oh.
Zach Galligan, who was the lead in the movie, he voices... I think it's a henchman for the main villain.
Let's see what else I wanted to get to. Is there anything else HBO? Oh, no, I want to get to the writer's strike and the fall schedules. So what's going on there with the writer's strike going on? How is that affecting fall schedules?
Well, it depends what network you are. If you're living in La La Land like CBS, you announce a fall schedule in which, you know, it's business as usual. And you've got your Monday night sitcoms and, you know, They pretended as if the writer's strike wasn't existing, and they announced a very optimistic fall schedule that isn't going to happen unless the writer's strike ends tomorrow. Then on the other end of the spectrum, you had ABC, which announced a fall schedule that was strike-proof because it's literally all reality shows, back-to-back-to-back, with the exception of 1 hour of Abbott Elementary reruns. Everything on the ABC fall schedule is an unscripted series, either a game show or a reality competition, including Golden Bachelor, aka Elderly Bachelor, aka
oh boy,
The Bachelor colon Shady Pine.
Well, I don't think you want to mention colon in anything with The Bachelor if they're beyond a certain year. Hey, by the way, I started watching the new episodes of Selling Sunset.
Oh boy.
Yeah, so I'm knee deep in on the new season of Selling Sunset. I watched two episodes already. Basically, they replace Christine with brunette Christine.
Okay.
They are replacing Christine with numbers. You can't replace Christine with just one person. You need multiple people. But there is brunette Christine. Her name is Bree, and then they're bringing in some woman who has been apparently part of the Oppenheimer group for many, many years, but has just never been on the show, and now she's involved. And basically what they're doing is they're drumming up all the drama around Chrishell. Like, Chrishell is at the center of everything, which is not a bad thing. More Chrishell is better for everybody. I think we know this, but like, G Flip made an appearance on the first episode and we haven't seen her since, but there's all sorts of drama about how, you know, Jason and Chrishell, how are they doing after their messy breakup from before at the end of the season? And they're just putting her at the center of everything. She is at the epicenter of all things Selling Sunset. And then there's different spurs of who's angry about things going on with Chrishell. So I see potential here for this season, Rob, is what I'm saying.
Oh my goodness. I will leave that all in your capable hands. I'm not going to be watching.
I'm the last person in on it, but I did just pop in the White Lotus into my playlist so I can get going on that. Well, that's done though, right? They only did a couple seasons, right? The White Lotus?
Oh, no, they're doing a third season.
Oh, are they? Okay. Yes. When's that coming out?
Well, there's a writer's strike. Who knows?
So that's on pause like everything else?
Yes, yes. I shouldn't say that. It's possible that all the scripts were done and they are filming now, but I have not actually heard that they are filming yet. So I don't know. I sort of would doubt they would film in the strike.
Let's get to a show that I know you're a fan of, new coming out, American Born Chinese.
Yeah, so this is coming on Disney Plus this week. I think it all 10 episodes, I think it's 10 or 8, one of the two, debut Wednesday the 24th. It's based on a graphic novel, and it's just this really well-done mix of heartfelt, raw, coming-of-age teen drama with fantasy and characters like the Monkey King. And you wouldn't think those two things would go together, but God bless them. They found a way to do it that works incredibly well. It has two newly minted Oscar winners, Michelle Yeoh and Ki-Hoo Kwan, I'm going to say his name wrong, from Everything Everywhere All at Once. They are both fantastic. It's a family-friendly show, but it is not a kid's show. It is super smart. It's even got this show within a show where Ki-Hoo Kwan plays sort of this 90s sitcom character who's, you know, from our present day eyes, a stereotype. And they really explore the complicated relationship. He's happy because the character, you know, made him famous and gave him sort of a career, although now he's not really an actor. But then he's also pained by how he's become memeified in the modern times using clips from this 90s show. It's a really, really extremely well-done show. Entertaining, funny. Michelle Yeoh gets to be funny. It's fantastic kung fu fight sequences, people flying through the air like Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. I couldn't love it more. It's one of my favorite shows of the year. So I highly recommend American Born Chinese on Disney Plus this Wednesday.
And one show that we weren't as high on, at least the way it's going, and we talked about this last week, and as soon as we got done speaking, I found an article in The Atlantic about Ted Lasso and how it's sort of lost its way from David Sims. It felt very similar to what you and I were talking about, how I think through their own success and popularity and people patting them on the back for all their messaging about mental health and whatnot sort of got preachy and more about trying to make a point with every episode and maybe emotionally manipulative, I think is the way to describe it, than just making good TV, which a lot of people thought that they did at the outset of that show.
Yeah, I agree. It is a problem the way that is being run towards the end of presumably the end of the show. I mean, honestly, I think it's I think 2 weeks from now will be the final Ted Lasso episode, and I don't know. I feel like they haven't really. They're setting it up in some ways to end, but they keep going off on tangents. And yes, the emotional piece of it, it does feel less earned and more like they're trying a little too hard.
What do you have coming up in TV Talk and TV Q&A this week?
TV Q&A, why did James Corden hang it up? Why would anyone leave hosting a late night show? That's our lead question for TV Q&A. And then in TV Talk, Arnold Schwarzenegger does his first TV series, FUBAR, on Netflix, premieres on Friday. So I'll have a preview of that.
What's the premise of that?
Do you remember his movie True Lies?
Yes.
Which CBS recently made into a show? Basically that.
Oh, okay.
Called True Lies.
Jamie Lee Curtis involved in it or no?
No,
okay.
It's not based on True Lies. They don't say the word True Lies, but he's an old spy getting ready to retire. He's too old for this. Fill in the blank. Family stuff happens. He has to keep working. Yada, yada, yada.
All right, so that's what's coming up in TV Talk and TV Q&A. Make sure you're checking out Breakfast with Ben's Daily as well. On the sports side, plenty coming up on the Penguins GM search and on the Pirates and their unfortunate state of affairs as they have crashed back to reality. Be with us on Tuesday of next week. Monday's the holiday, so we'll recap Succession at some point and post it for you on Tuesday, the next time our show will stream for Pittsburgh Pop. I'm Tim Benz. Rob Owen and I will be back with you next week. This is Trib Live.